I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Things that make you go,
Oh, is this where you read me five things?
I'm not going to read you five because one of them was on yesterday. If the number two pencil is the most popular, why is it number two?
Do you want the answer for that one?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, that one has a very clear and logical answer, but okay.
We don't do logic, remember?
Sorry.
First day on the year?
Sorry. My bad.
Why do fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? Why do people say heads up when you should duck?
I've always wondered that one.
And why is a pair of underwear one item?
Why is it a pair of
jeans
pants?
Also.
Yeah.
Pair of scissors.
Because?
You got two legs there, not one.
I got two arms. It's not a pair of shirts.
Are they long pants, short pants, or capris?
Clam diggers, Sam.
Okay. Yes.
Clam diggers.
Why does that term make
Go
me
back
so
and
uncomfortable?
Listen to yesterday if you're confused.
I don't know why it makes me uncomfortable.
You clam can diggers. Turn any kind of trouser into clam diggers. You just roll them up.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird name. I'm with you, Sam.
By the way, I think game five of the NBA finals is tomorrow night.
Looking forward tonight. To it.
Isn't it tonight?
Oh, it's tomorrow night. Oh. They're playing in San Antonio.
Extra day for travel.
That's right.
50% almost of the tickets sold in San Antonio were purchased in the New York, New Jersey area.
I love it.
They'll get a much different response if they decide to riot after the win.
Well, that's a Texas. Fair point. Yeah, that's true.
Nearly half of the Frost Bank Center will be blue and orange as the Big Apple's beloved squad looks to secure its first NBA championship in 53 years. Data shows that New York Billings zip codes bought 37% of the tickets to the potentially clinching game. Another 8% were from New Jersey. Only 12% of the tickets were bought by Texas area customers.
Ooh.
As early as Thursday.
Well, Texas is a weird one because they have so much of an NBA presence, having three different teams in the area, that there's a lot of internal rivalry among Texans. Where they're like, I know somebody who's a massive Dallas Mavericks fan who, because of that, is rooting for the Knicks. And so if you live in the area and you root for one of the other teams, the last thing you're going to do is spend thousands of dollars to go watch a final game of a team that you hate.
But he did say that a lot of the ticket sales were from New York zip codes, right?
Yeah.
Almost 50%. Yeah.
Or maybe the folks down in Texas just can't afford the ticket prices and they're going to watch it at home.
Well, maybe. But Sam, I get what you're saying, that there are a lot of NBA franchises in the state. But you've got to remember how far away from each other they are.
That's true.
You know, Dallas to San Antonio is a 3.5 to 4 hour drive, unless you speed and you can get it down to three. And the Austin-San Antonio megaplex, because they're not far from each other, that's millions and millions of people.
That's fair. Maybe Dan's right. Maybe it's about cost.
Yeah, when you say there's a lot of NBA presence in the area, that's a very large surface area.
That is a huge state.
Well, but I mean, if you think about it, like Kansas City, we pull fans for the Chiefs from
Omaha.
Four states around us.
Yeah. Well, when was the last time you cheered for the Cardinals?
Well, we have the Royals.
They're in the same that's my point.
That's a deep-seated hatred. That's backing my point.
That team's name starts with St. Louis.
I would go see the Cardinals if I didn't have to go to St. Louis for it.
Wow.
And again, it's so much easier and cheaper just to watch it on the TV.
That's true.
There was a kid who, the story's also in the stack, Scott, I don't know if you saw it, who put his yearbook, you know, you can put like a motto in your senior yearbook. I don't remember what year it was.
It was 6 years ago.
So 6 years ago, 2020, This kid's senior motto was Nixon 6, 2026. Either he just loves rhymes or that kid, ask him about some other predictions and place some bets.
His name is Evan Fufer. Evan Fufer. And he wrote Nixon 6, 2026 NBA Finals. That's right. It's right next to his portrait in the Smithtown High School West yearbook.
Did he place a bet or just a prediction in the yearbook?
I don't know.
Considering he was just 18 at the time, he just did the motto in the yearbook.
I mean, if you place a $1 bet on that long ago, what's that going to pay out?
I was going to say, can you bet on a sporting event 6 years later?
I'm pretty sure you can bet on just about anything.
6 years prior?
Yeah.
Concerning you can bet on political elections these days.
But, I mean, it would have to be a singular team bet. They don't release the schedules until just prior to the season or the end of the previous one.
Yeah. Well, no, it would have to be like a total win count or wins at all or stuff like that if you're going to do bet 6 years out.
Vegas puts out odds on the next NFL season as soon as the Super Bowl wraps up. You can the night the Super Bowl winner
but wouldn't
is
you have,
crowned.
But the schedule's not out yet.
You don't have to have the schedules and all that
kind
of stuff.
They'll still let you bet on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A new study is challenging the conventional wisdom that a small daily dose of alcohol might actually be good for your health. Now, these studies are starting to come out more and more where some doctors are saying no amount of alcohol is actually good for you. This research, which was published in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs, I should subscribe, suggests that the safest amount
I'm by Scott
President and CEO suggests the safest amount of alcohol to consume is actually none at all. If adults do choose to drink, the team of scientists recommends setting a limit of just one per day.
This is groundbreaking.
This challenges older guidelines, which often suggested that up to two daily drinks for men was a safe limit. They're now saying none. Okay. Thanks for chiming in, guys.
I can if you want me to.
I mean, what is there to say?
We literally consume it for the effects of the poison. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's poison. Poison has negative side effects. So I guess I never really understood the previous studies that said, yeah, you can have two drinks a day and it's going to be a positive. No, it's poison.
So for clarification, we're talking about flavored alcohol and not rubbing alcohol?
It all comes down to the dose, too. There's so many things out there where people say, this is poisonous, you know, if you eat too much of this. And it's like, well, or ingest too much of this. But really, it comes down to the dose.
Oh, yeah,
now, I'm with you, Sam. You know, alcohol, yeah, you're taxing your liver and kidneys and all that. I think
we have, as humans, have been drinking alcohol for how many millennia?
It's mentioned in the Bible.
Well, and we
in the
used
Old
to
Testament.
And that was just a couple of millennia ago.
Drink it more often because there was less access to clean drinking water. Mm-hmm. So you were more likely to not have a negative reaction from the fermented beverage than you were from just picking up a cup and scooping up some water and drinking it.
Yes, I'm guessing the wine of thousands of years ago is quite different than the wine of today.
Yes.
Still got you drunk.
It did over time, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay.
Sure, everybody was really happy and friendly back then.
We are going to do Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. So start planning your grievances. You get the honorary first one of the week, so I need one from you.
All right.
We will do that right after 5 o'clock. If you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Commander Jesse Reed filling in today for Dana Wright. Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
According to Pakistan, and I'm quoting here, a final agreed upon text has been reached between the U.S. and Iran. There is talk that I'm not going to get into the weeds of the deal, but it would potentially be signed on Sunday in Geneva.
According to Pakistan?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were the mediators.
Oh, yeah.
And so, anybody else find it kind of weird that we talk about ending war like a business transaction?
Hasn't it always been that way?
Well, no, it is. That's exactly what it is. But
you give me this, I'll give you that, and we'll be done beating each other up.
Doesn't that kind of say it's more about money than it is about...
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry, I don't want to get into that conversation.
Jeez Louise, Sam.
Just saying, we're talking about people's lives here, and you're like, well, if you sign the dotted line, we'll stop killing your people.
Well, what do people fight wars about more often than not?
Religion.
Religion or territory? Mm. And what is territory?
Resources.
It's money.
Yeah. That's true.
All right.
Or you attacked our World Trade Center, and now we have to attack you. A federal judge on Friday rejected a long-shot effort to block the UFC champion event set to take place at the White House on Sunday. There were two residents who sought a court order trying to stop the UFC event. D.C. residents Susan Douglas and Paul Romano filed their lawsuit 6 days ago. The judge said, not so fast. UFC Freedom 250 is set to take place on the South Lawn of the White House on Sunday. Happens to be the president's birthday. For the mixed martial arts event, crews have spent the past 3 weeks constructing the Claw. A 92-foot tall structure that will house the octagon. Are there any good fights?
The card sucks.
Does it really?
Yeah.
How do I watch it? Do I have to pay for it?
No, I think it's just going to be on Paramount.
You're right.
I'm pretty sure once they popped over to Paramount, it's all free now. Or, well, you have to pay the whatever, $7.99.
So you don't have to do the ESPN Plus thing to like you normally watch.
Well, it used to be
UFC.
You had to pay for ESPN Plus, which was $64 a year.
And then each
card you wanted to watch, if you wanted to watch the main event, it was like $70.
Huh. They expect 4,000 people to watch the fights on the South Lawn.
I am a UFC fan. I do enjoy it.
I'm a very big fan of the UFC.
It's very entertaining.
I don't know why I like watching people beat the poo out of each other, but it's fun.
There's kind of a warrior ethos to it. I mean, for the most part, every once in a while it gets a little nasty, but for the most part, most of the people, the opponents afterwards, they hug each other. You know, they respect each other.
If they can.
No, even after they get knocked out.
Sometimes they're laying on the mat.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know who they're hugging, but they're hugging.
I think the UFC athletes suffer less long-term kind of consequences physically than boxers do. Because most UFC fights end in a submission of some sort.
I knew a guy I used to work out with named, what was his last name? Sean. He's a local guy. And he used to call boxing matches and I haven't seen Sean in a long, long time. But we worked out at the same gym and got to know each other. And he would always make the argument to me, and this was when UFC was starting to really gain in popularity and was on pay-per-view a lot all of a sudden and everything. And he would make the argument to me that UFC fighting, or whatever you want to call it, mixed martial arts, is actually safer than boxing is.
I think that's a factual statement.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, okay, so boxers spend most of their matches getting hit in the head.
Don't UFC guys?
No. No, usually if you get to take a direct shot to the head, you can't take many of those in UFC because it's going to be a knockout punch.
Hence the danger.
Well, yeah. So that's why boxing is worse, because you're
cumulative.
Taking...
There's more cumulative head damage. I see.
There's also more cushion, mm-hmm. so you can take those hits over and over and over again. And the severe traumatic brain damage is from jostling the brain around in the fluids, not from the power of the strike.
The knockout punch that hits you in the jaw. Yeah.
All right. Are you guys going to watch on Sunday night?
I might. I don't know. We'll see.
It'll be a spectacle if nothing else. Yeah, we have Paramount.
Text line said that Sean O'Malley is fighting. I didn't even know that one. So I'll definitely watch the Sean O'Malley fight.
Okay.
Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Sam's really excited about this one. Wendy's fans are about to go bananas. Starting on Monday, the iconic fast food joint will say Bello to a brand new frosty flavor, banana Frosty Swirl.
Yes, please.
Inspired by the newest Minions movie. Features sweet banana cream sauce swirled into Wendy's famous vanilla frosty base.
Oh my.
Is this to imply that Minions taste like bananas?
No, they love bananas.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I need to get up to speed on my Minions
dude,
knowledge.
Dude, I've never been to a Minions movie either.
You took that a weird direction.
Well, they're little yellow Twinkie looking things with eyeballs.
Okay.
I love banana flavoring. I know that it's a love-hate relationship with banana flavoring, but like the banana Laffy Taffy.
Oh, yeah.
Top notch.
Like a good strawberry banana yogurt. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a chocolate peanut.
No, I cannot wait to try the Wendy's banana swirl.
Okay. Coming out on Monday, Sam.
I'll be there.
Grab one on the way in.
The original Frosty is still hard to beat, though.
Well, that's true.
Especially with the French fry dipped in it.
Mm-hmm.
This one makes my skin crawl. More than 100,000 live cockroaches illegal to keep in Australia were confiscated from a single breeder in the country's largest ever seizure of exotic insects. The Hall of Madagascar hissing cockroaches and dubia cockroaches worth $142,000 were seized in May from a commercial breeder in the city of Bathurst in New South Wales. The Madagascar hissing species is one of the world's biggest cockroaches, I'm aware, measuring 3 inches in length.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And they hiss.
Why do you breed these things? To feed exotic reptiles?
No, people actually buy hissing cockroaches as pets.
Mm-hmm.
That's
disgusting.
I've never understood it.
Over at Pet Shop.
Yeah.
Over, where they have the monkey that's gotten real controversial.
Frankie.
Yep, Frankie. So over at Pet Shop, I used to, when the girls were young, instead of driving them all the way out to the zoo, I would take them over to the Pet Shop because they've got a ton of exotic animals, like degus.
Hissing cockroaches?
They have hissing cockroaches.
Do they actually hiss?
Oh, yes. Sam, can you bring
what
up
audio? What does that sound
audio,
like?
Yeah, sure. Can you bring up audio on YouTube?
It's like barking spiders?
It sounds like...
No, that's what you tell your kids when you pass gas.
Okay, thank you, Sam.
Madagascar hissing cockroaches and dubia cockroaches are illegal to be imported into Australia. They cannot be legally kept, bred, or sold, no matter how they were obtained. Well, then how do you get it in? Don't. Leave it.
Why are you making me watch this video? They haven't even started hissing yet. Ugh.
Well, when did they start hissing? Oh, they're very large. And like people, you can buy them in the United States and people will just let them crawl on their skin.
If I wake up screaming tonight, I am calling you.
I think we're relative. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. That's it.
That is a hissing
cockroach. Is that like their aggressive sort of get away from me sound or what?
That was an individual playing with it. And it looked
playing
like it
with
was
a cockroach.
Back.
Disgusting.
Yes. So, Scott, when your phone rings at 2:30 in the morning, it's me having a nightmare.
I think we're relatively lucky here in the United States that like the scary looking critters that we have compared to some other places in the world are relatively benign.
Like Australia?
Is Australia has like the funnel web spider? It looks like a creature from the movie Aliens.
We have insanely large cockroaches here. Specifically in
I'll
Waldo.
Take that over some of the other things that
exist. Specifically in Waldo. What did you say the name of the spider was?
Funnel web spider.
Funnel web spider.
This thing catches like large birds.
Nice. Oh my.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, and when they're threatened, they throw up their front legs.
Oh, nice.
Like this.
My brother, when we were kids, had full-fledged arachnophobia. And which was interesting because he knew everything about every spider. He researched them. But if he actually was in the presence of a spider, he went into a full-blown panic attack.
Interesting.
He called that, by the way, the attack position.
The attack position.
We had a spider in my room once as a kid, and the spider put its little front legs up. And he goes, it's in the attack position.
By the way, Australian funnel web spiders are one of the most medically significant groups of spiders in the world.
Medically? What does that mean? They'll kill you?
That's not the way I'm reading it.
Okay. That would be medically significant.
Yes. 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 They require the most medical treatment.
They don't all have venom, but many of them do. Some are venomless.
Mm-hmm. I still don't want one crawling on my wall in my hotel.
They are attracted to water, hence often found in swimming pools.
Ugh.
And they can survive in water for several hours and can still bite you in the water.
But no, Scott, I don't know what it is about this spring, if it's all the rain or what, but I was walking through Waldo the other day, and with one step, I'm about to gross myself out repeating this.
Crunch.
I killed four cockroaches.
Oh, my God.
One step.
They were outside?
Yeah. Oh, if they were in my house, I wouldn't be here.
I think they normally say if a cockroach is outside, it's a German wood roach, I think is what they're called.
I don't know.
This is during the day?
Yeah.
Wow, usually they're not out in broad daylight.
And these ones fly, by the way.
Ugh.
Before Sean and I got married, we lived in Lawrence in this apartment at Meadowbrook Apartments. We had a one-bedroom apartment. Have I told you this story before?
Oh, yeah.
This is disgusting. We come home from dinner one night, and I have two fears in life, loose shirt tags and cockroaches. And we come in from dinner one night. We're sitting there watching TV. And I said, I feel like we're being watched. And she goes, what? I said, I feel like something's watching us. And I go to turn on the light to the sliding glass door back patio. We live on the first floor. And the glass was all but covered in roaches. And I screamed like a little school. I mean, I was,
Things I'd pay to see.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Is it time to get rid of the high school valedictorian speech? Does anybody even remember it the next day or care? A North Carolina high school valedictorian who was shamed by a heckling senior after appearing to quote Kanye West in his graduation speech, has told how the firestorm has left him feeling distressed. Hoggard High School student Kyler Hosek was publicly scolded by senior Sarah Rudisill during Saturday's ceremony after he seemed to mirror a phrase said by Kanye West during a sit-down with InfoWars founder Alex Jones in 2022. Quoting here from Hosek, I'm distressed that a quote used in my speech distracted from the message I intended to share. Those beliefs do not reflect my values. Then why share them?
What was it, the Killer Bees quote?
Nope. I'm going to read you his quote, okay? And then I'm going to read you what Kanye West said on InfoWars. You ready?
This is in the speech, just to be clear. This is the speech he gave to his high school graduating class.
Correct.
Okay,
all
ready.
Right. He said, his biggest inspiration is obviously Kanye West. As my biggest inspiration once said, every human being has something of value that they bring to the table.
Nothing wrong with that quote.
Nope.
That is so controversial. Oh my gosh.
Let me read you the quote from Kanye West. Now let me reread what he claims Kanye West said, his biggest inspiration. Every human being has something of value that they bring to the table. Kanye West said, every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
Oh.
Hmm. So what's the kid's name again who read this? What's his name?
Kyler Hosek.
And Kyler has said that Kanye West is his biggest inspiration?
That's what he seems to imply, or at least that's what I infer, yeah. As my biggest inspiration once said, the only thing he took out was he changed brought to bring and cut out especially Hitler.
Maybe he had not watched that full interview.
Just looking up positive Kanye quotes that just so happened to leave out the especially Hitler part. I don't know.
But what I'm asking is, Sam, give me one inspirational line that you heard at either your high school or college valedictorian speech.
Oh, the places we'll go.
That was said in your high school graduation?
My high school valedictorian quite literally took the I'm going to quote Dr. Seuss route.
Oh, the places we will go.
Yeah.
And what places have you been?
I'm here.
Waldo?
You literally moved 5 miles to the west to have a career.
It's pretty cool, right? I mean, I'm here.
It is here. Yeah. It is cool.
So your point, though, in bringing this up is why even do the speech in the first place?
Yes.
So you're not a fan?
Never have been.
Well,
I don't even
then
remember.
I guess everyone just gets up and walks across and we go, wham, bam, well, no. Thank you, ma'am. Let's get on to the graduation party.
How about the superintendent gives a speech?
I'd rather hear from my classmate than the superintendent or the principal.
My UMKC graduation, it was one of those where like, hey, this guy is famous for this one thing. I didn't even know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell you a single word that guy said.
I mean, I don't remember the valedictorian speech itself, but I do remember who that person was in my high school. And I remember thinking that was cool. Like she was talented and well-spoken and
okay.
Yeah.
I think most people would prefer, especially the parents, not the ones of the valedictorian, would prefer just the cattle call of kids. Let's get our diploma. Let's take the picture as soon as we go stage left, and let's get the hell out of here.
I think it's a little bit symbolic of the fact that here's a bunch of 18-year-olds, and you're now going out into the world. Are you fully launched yet? I mean, you're not a minor anymore. Everyone's an adult leaving there, theoretically. But it is kind of symbolic of like, hey, we're our own people now. We're out of our houses. We've moved on past phase one, which is child rearing in our house. And now we're out in the real world. And I think, you know, having one of your classmates give that speech is a little bit symbolic of that.
From the text line, why not just get rid of the whole graduation process altogether? Their diplomas can be given to them on the last day of school. Just leave it at that.
Nah. No, I do like a little bit of pomp and circumstance.
You got to celebrate big moments. I mean, these are seminal moments in people's lives.
And I will say this, especially with the college graduation, I was so excited when Sarah graduated from KU and was walking the hill. And, you know, there was probably, I don't know, 6,000, 7,000 students all lining the road leading to the Campanile. And finding your kid in a field of 7,000 to 8,000, whatever it was, kids, is not easy, mm-hmm. even with a cell phone. And I finally found Sarah and I said, hey, when you go down to the Campanile, walk to the left. I'm going to be on the left side.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your picture. And I did. And then I, you know, she goes through the Campanile and I look like a crazy lunatic dad. And I go chasing down the hill after her, just taking her picture 1,000 times. And she gets to the gate of the football stadium and she goes, should we go in? And I said, well, it's going to be a couple of hours. Why don't we go grab a pizza? And we went to Papa Kino's and grabbed pizza.
Now, I have a different graduation experience. Graduating from a military academy is a much different graduation experience.
I bet it's really
cool.
That
was probably one of the biggest days of my life.
So. You probably had a flyover.
Yeah, the Blue Angels flyover at the Naval Academy. That's how your graduation ceremony starts, is a flyover with the Blue Angels.
The speech is probably from a 4-star admiral would be my guess.
In my case, it was the vice president at the time.
Oh, I'm sorry. The vice president spoke.
Yes, and in our case,
who was the vice president?
It was
at the
Dick
time?
Cheney at the time, and it was right after my class was the senior class that September 11th happened. So it was a big moment. I mean, there was some gravity.
What year did you graduate?
2002.
Oh,
yeah.
So right after 9/11.
Right after 9/11, and you know, the speech was basically, "Hey, you guys are about to go out and do the nation's bidding," and it was. You know, there was a gravity to it, but I'm sure. But also, no matter what's going on in the world, you know, one of those service academy graduations is just kind of a sight to see, and it's a pretty small class. You know, the average class size of a service academy is 1,000 people, so it goes pretty quickly.
That's more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, roughly.
I didn't want to go to my college graduation. My mother insisted.
Really?
Why didn't you want to go?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it was 7 years after I started college, so.
You call them doctors.
Not me. Which was also part of it. But I don't know. I just didn't. It didn't matter at that point. But I was so far removed from the school.
Well, you were already working here.
Yeah. I mean, I was on pace to graduate in 3 years. And then I got a full-time job and kind of said, well, what am I doing now? And then I was so far into it that everyone around me was like, well, go ahead and finish your degree. So then I did. And then everybody around me was like, well, you got to go to graduation. And I was like, what? Why? I wasn't even going to do this in the first place.
I distinctly remember you telling Dana and me that you did not want to go to your graduation.
Yeah.
And like your mother, we insisted that you go because it only happens once.
That is true.
And we were so proud of you and
thank you.
Happy for you. And you had, you know, this amazing accomplishment of graduating from college. And all we wanted to do was for you, it's kind of like, here's an example. Trying to keep you from doing something we knew you would regret. Okay? So when Tasha's daughter moved out to California with her husband, we had boxes in the garage of some of her stuff that she didn't want to take. And then she was about to throw out her high school letter jacket from Lansing. And, you know, we're going through the boxes in the garage. What's she going to take? What are we going to throw away? What, you know, what's going to stay in the box in the garage? And I see her lift up her letter jacket and go to my big Deaf and Ball trash can in the garage.
Mm-hmm. Don't you do it.
I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm never going to wear this again. I'm just going to throw it away.
You said, yeah, you will
yeah,
when I
you
wear
will.
Mine.
I walk around the house naked in mine. Still fits.
What?
Let's bring up hissing cockroaches, please.
But anyway,
brother,
it still hangs in our closet right inside the garage.
Now, I do firmly believe, and from the text line, graduation's for the parents, not for the student. I kind of agree with that. I firmly believe that we need to get rid of the pre-K graduation.
Oh my God, don't even get me.
Eighth grade graduation.
I was on Facebook the other day, and I can't remember who. Yeah, I do remember who it was. I'm not going to embarrass her. And there was the picture of her daughter graduating from eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this a joke?
Yep, they do it.
Yeah, so now graduation means nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to save that for the special events.
And if you want to have a party and say bye to your classmates that you're not going to be seeing anymore because you're going to a different school, that's great. Why are we calling it a graduation?
Yeah, my eighth grade, last day of school in eighth grade was we all had a bunch of pieces of paper balled up on the bus ride home and we're throwing it at each other.
Wow. Dangerous.
That was our graduation from eighth grade.
Commander Jesse Reed is in for Dana. Sam Stevie III. We got the news coming up at the top of the hour. And then once you hear Dan's voice at 4 o'clock, we will be 1 hour away from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances here on KMBZ.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I like this. By the way, the Canada-Bosnia-Herzegovina game is now in the extra time. I can't tell you the score.
From the text line, what are these circle heart donut-looking things all over town? That is the Parade of Hearts.
Oh, first of all, I love that.
It's super cool.
Okay. And they go on sale shortly, if I'm not mistaken.
They will be auctioning them off very soon.
And Dana had, Sam, be my witness.
Itching.
I love Dana Wright, but she is itching for them to give her one.
What's the buy now price? What's that? Which ones are going to go the cheapest?
I gotta look at a picture of these. I haven't seen these.
The Parade of Hearts?
Oh, they're all over town.
Oh, and they're so neat. I can't believe I just used the word neat.
Super neat.
Oh, yeah, I have seen. Okay.
From the text line, I am a preschool teacher. There should not be a preschool graduation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you walk around naked in something? Great point. I said I walk around naked in my...
We don't need naked-ish. To revisit that. We do not.
Yes. I feel like I would need to watch lots of hissing cockroaches to...
Get that out of your mind.
Maybe eat some burn, like back and
burn
in the
day that out of my, in, my brain.
Golf legend Phil Mickelson. Have you heard about this?
No.
He's in. He got in a little bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
He is no longer a member of his longtime Southern California club after inappropriate behavior with a staff member was alleged. Mickelson, who is 55 and I believe married,
yes,
is no longer welcome at the Farms Golf Club, where he has practiced for decades after he was accused of inappropriate contact with a female club employee this spring. There were multiple sources. Golf Digest reported that Mickelson was alleged to have approached a female employee at the clubhouse and made non-consensual and inappropriate physical contact with her. The employee rejected his advances and then reported them to supervisors. He was confronted with the accusation on the court and asked to leave. The Farms Golf Club telling NBC News, this individual is no longer a member.
Good. Kick him out. I don't know anything about this particular case, so I'm going to preface all of these comments with, this is not about Phil. However, in the past with these cases, the first one that we hear about typically
is not the actual first one.
Was not the first one.
Yeah. Bob, he is a married father of three. Six-time major champion. Okay. Dan's got the news coming up in 2 minutes. We have Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances, coming your way in exactly 1 hour. Stay tuned for that here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.